Hello, everybody. Good day, wherever you are in the world. Pastor Mackenzie Cambizi with Progress on Purpose coming your way just but to share and empower and inspire and encourage and, if you will, just but to have a great talk as you move into the greatness that God has given to you. Today, I have a very fascinating, very exciting, very encouraging presentation that I want us to have together. And as you are coming, as you are joining Progress on Purpose, we want to talk about a very critical subject. The subject as old as the creation of man. I want us to get into it and talk about it as to how do we handle this subject, which is so old and which attacks and touches our lives on a daily basis. And yet how you handle and how you deal with this subject impacts the success and even the influence that you exert on others. I really want us to get into it and talk about this wonderful presentation, and it's going to be a blessing to some of you. It's going to be a blessing to some of you as it has been a blessing to me. I'm going to be teaching and coaching on the subject of conflict resolution on purpose. Conflict resolution on purpose. How to deal with conflicts. Conflicts are as old as that war in heaven when the serpent had to fight with Michael and his angels. Conflict is older than the creation of man, and conflict is as old as the Garden of Eden. Conflict, conflict, conflict. How do we handle conflict? How do we deal with it? And how can we deal with conflict on purpose? This is what we do here on Progress on Purpose. The desire is to give you the how-tos to deal with some of these things. How do I deal with conflict on purpose? And we are praying, Father, give us wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we are practical, relevant, and biblical here on Progress on Purpose. And so the lessons I do have today, I'm going to be pulling them out of Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, you read, you discover Abraham had to go to Egypt, and when he got to Egypt with his wife and everybody that he had, and when he got there, Lot also went with him. And then the book says, you know, they had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they would not dwell together. And there was strife, conflict. There was strife between the headsmen of Abram's livestock and the headsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. And so there's a conflict because there's too many blessings that are involved. Lot has lots of blessings. He's blessed with more cows and cattle than he can count. Abraham, the same thing. And then there's a conflict there. Genesis chapter 13, I will ask you to read it on your own, and we're going to pull out some lessons out of that. Conflict resolution on purpose. My friends, let me tell you, if you keep living, if you keep on living, just keep more than one day, you're going to discover that conflict is something that is permanent in your life. And how you deal with it determines your joy, determines your happiness, determines your impact and influence on others. Conflict is as old as Revelation chapter 12, when there was war in heaven and the serpent fought and Michael fought. Conflict is as old as Adam and Eve standing on that tree, at that tree with that serpent, talking, having a serious conflict on what God had said. So I wanted to understand that conflict is going to happen. Conflict is going to be everywhere. There's healthy conflict and unhealthy conflict. Not all conflict is unhealthy. All right. And let me say this to you before I give you seven principles that we're going to have on how to deal with conflict on purpose. If you are leaving, let me tell you something. If you are leaving, you're going to have conflict, because if you are real, you're going to be different. Conflict does not mean you're wrong, right or wrong in many situations. Sometimes it's simply because you are different. Because you are different, we're going to have a conflict, and how we resolve it matters, because it can damage us or it can make us into something greater. And let me tell you something that I'm discovering. I'm discovering that all of us are, we are products of our upbringing. So many of these subjects, we arrive in the world, we interact with others after we have been taught at home by observation. how your parents used to handle conflict in the house, how you and your siblings used to handle conflict in the house, determines, on a greater part, how you're going to deal with the world, because you're always a product of your upbringing. It doesn't matter, right or wrong. It's not an issue of right or wrong. It's an issue of exposure. All right. How conflict was dealt with in our homes. So for many of us, we saw it being done. All of us did saw it being done, whether it was done in a healthy way or it was done in an unhealthy way. And whichever way you're exposed to, that's the baggage you start with. So everyone arrives in this world loaded with some tools on how to deal with conflict. Some people fight fire with fire. Others, they fight, some others withdraw. You know, they withdraw when there's a conflict. They become quiet. They don't want to talk about it because that's how they saw it being handled. So how can I deal with conflict? There's nobody who is perfect when it comes to conflict resolution. Your way of dealing with it and my way of doing dealing with it, there's none of us with a perfect way of dealing with this thing because we are always, here's one thing I'm discovering, one principle I'm discovering in most of life, life's dealings. You're going to discover that you cannot go beyond your exposure. You cannot go beyond your exposure. Your exposure is extremely important because you can only do what you have seen being done. All right. In most situations, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with, if you don't expand your capacity, you're going to discover you keep dealing with adult issues as a child because I haven't matured from there. So you can only go as far as your exposure is, and you cannot go beyond your exposure. So let's get into it. Here's one thing, one principle that I wanted to have when it comes to conflict resolution on purpose. To resolve conflict, listen to me, to resolve conflict, you must bring it to the surface. Okay, number one, if you're going to deal with conflict, to resolve conflict, you must bring it to the surface. You cannot solve or resolve a conflict that you are in denial that it exists. You cannot solve that. There are conflicts that are there. Avoiding it, postponing it, denying it does not take it away. If you're going to deal with the conflict, number one, you must learn to bring the conflict to the surface. So it really matters. A conflict resolution on purpose. Let's get into it. Is that all right? If we are going to deal with the conflict, we must bring it to the surface. In other words, we must acknowledge it. We must admit it. We must say it exists in order for us to deal with it. All right. When you look at Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot having these issues because they had many blessings and they could not stay together and a conflict came into being. I want to give you some principles that will help us with conflict. Conflict is going to be everywhere. You know, your family is not bad because you have conflict. Your job is not the one because you have conflict. No, there will always be conflict. You must learn how to deal with conflict. There is conflict within you, within yourself. You have conflict within you. Many of us, our worst enemy is not anybody, but this thing between our ears. Right here, there's conflict right here. But the beautiful thing about it, I want you to take away as we get started, there is healthy conflict and unhealthy conflict. Okay. Not all conflict is bad. There's good conflict and there is bad conflict. All right. And we're going to get into it. What do I do? How do I resolve conflict on purpose? Number one, when you are in a situation where there's conflict, number one, stay calm. Stay calm. When there is a conflict, stay calm. We're talking of resolving it on purpose. I'm not talking about, you know, bringing in what you have been taught and how to. No. Whenever there's a conflict, somebody needs to be calm. So principle number one, you find in here, in Genesis 13, it says there was a conflict. Lot's servants fought with Abraham. There was a conflict. Listen to verse 8. So Abraham said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my headsmen and your headsmen, for we are brethren. If you are to resolve conflict on purpose, stay calm. So somebody may ask me a question, Pastor, how do I stay calm? Well, you can only stay calm by putting value on the relationship more than your opinion. Learn to put value on the relationship more value on the relationship than on your opinion. It helps you to stay calm. Abraham says to the Lord, look, we are relatives, man. We are relatives here. And don't forget that Abraham was older than Lot. So he could have simply demanded and he could have literally have entitlement, but he was calm in the midst of the storm. It does not matter. And let me help you something. Stay calm when you're in a conflict. And there are three things I've discovered that will help you with if you want to resolve conflict on purpose. Timing is very, very important. Timing is very, very important. Setting is very, very important. And tone is very important. Timing, setting, tone is very important. Whenever you are in a conflict, those three things must add up. If those three things are not in alignment, the other person is going to hear disrespect. The other person is going to hear, spitefulness. They will hear things that you're not saying. Whenever you're in a conflict, stay calm and pray that you, listen to me now, the timing is right, the setting is right, and the tone is very right. It's very important, whether it's with you and your spouse, you and your children, you and your employer, you and another believer, you and your pastor, you and your neighbor, when there's a conflict, because conflicts will come. Conflicts will come. They're part of life. Get ready. Get equipped for them. Timing, setting, tone. This will help you to stay calm and make the relationship in your mind and in your heart more important than your opinion. Value the relationship more than your opinion. Because listen, if your opinion is greater than the relationship, you're going to fight your husband as if he is a stranger, fight your wife as if she is a stranger, fight your children as if they're not yours, fight your sibling as if you have never known each other. Value the relationship. Let me tell you something. The only thing that calms you down in any conflict is the quality of relationship you have. That's it. I've been a pastor for 26 years, and I'll tell you what, there are some people that I've had conflict with in pastoring. I make a decision, they don't like it. And the only thing that will get us to sit down and not cuss each other out was the relationship. You know, I remember one time we had a conflict and somebody, and I was really fired up. And I said, man, how can this be? And the person, and I said, well, we need to talk. And the third person who was in this meeting looked at me and kept on calling me, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. I'm just being transparent and vulnerable at this moment. This person called me three times, Pastor, 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 as they reminded me of our relationship. It changed the tone. Come on, talk to me, somebody out there. Yeah, the content is okay. When there's a conflict, there's a conflict. To resolve a conflict, you must bring it to the surface, but make sure the timing, the setting, the tone is important, and the relationship is more valued than your opinion. All right, here's number two. Number two, if you're going to deal with conflict resolution on purpose, number two, encourage communication. If you are in a conflict situation, encourage communication. Don't destroy communication. I'm not talking about talk. I'm saying communication. Encourage communication in order for you to resolve conflict on purpose. Be humble. You cannot resolve conflict on purpose when you are prideful. Conflict can only be resolved on purpose by two humble people. Somebody ought to be humble. So you need to value the relationship more than your opinion. You need to sacrifice your opinion and uplift the relationship and encourage communication. Let me tell you something. One thing I've discovered is that when you are in a conflict, usually when we're in a conflict, many of us, we are not calm at all. So we are all over the place. Our emotions are all over the place. And we end up saying things we don't mean. And then we have to apologize for the rest of our lives. That is if we are given a chance for us to do that. But when you encourage communication, it'll create clarity. When you are in a conflict, the only thing that helps you to see what really is going on is clarity. So when you encourage communication, listen to that thing, and you're going to be amazed at how you are not very far from the desired outcome when you encourage communication. So when you're in a conflict, Don't use silence for a weapon. Okay, don't use silence for a weapon. Don't use withdrawal for a weapon. Because when you are silent, the other person don't know what's going on. If you're in a conflict and you want to resolve it on purpose, you must encourage communication. It cannot be one way. You must hold yourself accountable. Even if you are the one who is hurt or the one who is offended, even you must hold yourself accountable so that the other person also have got equal time to communicate. Because communication will solve any conflict in this world. Let me tell you something, my friends. My president, Joe Biden, is about to withdraw our American soldiers from Afghanistan. And one thing I noticed as I was listening and following this thing, I've discovered that every war that has ever been fought in the world was ended with communication than bombs and guns. I mean, they have to come to a table and sit down and come down with some agreements, then the war is ended. When there's a ceasefire, men, women sit at the table, communicate with one another, and the conflict is resolved. And I want to challenge you, wherever you are in your life, whatever is going on, there will be conflict everywhere. If you are a winner, if you are successful, if you are spiritual, there's more conflict in your life than you can handle. You need principles to get to understand how to deal with it. When you read the Bible, you discover Paul and Peter had a conflict in the book of Galatians. When you keep on reading, you discover Paul and his mentor Barnabas had a conflict in the book of Acts. There will be conflict. If you are real, there will be conflict. But you need to know how to deal with it. So encourage communication. Let it not be one-sided. No, you must engage. You must communicate. Even when you are hearing things you don't want to hear, if we are going to resolve conflict on purpose, we must talk about it. That's what Abraham did with Lot. He said, Lord, look here. Hey, man, look, we're relatives here. The whole country is in front of us. And verse 10 says, Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, went water everywhere. And then he said, well, he chose for himself. You got to communicate. No matter how bad a conflict is, people must talk. Are you ready? Don't get me started now. Because even Isaiah, God says, come now, let's reason together. In other words, God says we won't solve this problem if you and I don't communicate. You must talk. Don't use silence for a weapon. If you're a married woman, a married man, don't use silence for a weapon, because it will not solve the issue. To resolve conflict, bring it to the surface. And number one, stay calm. All right, value the relationship more than you value opinion, and encourage communication by being humble. Remain humble. Here's number three. Focus on win-win outcomes. Focus on win-win. Let me tell you something. When you are in a conflict, let me tell you something about a human being, okay? When God says, let us make man in our own image, all right? And God gave them dominion over everything minus each other. Okay, when you look at it in Genesis chapter 1, the human being has dominion over everything created. The only thing that God never gave a human being dominion over is another human being. But everything, the heavens, the sea, the land, in the sea, everything is under our dominion. You know what that means? It means in every human being, there's a seed of a winner that doesn't want to lose. So whenever you are in a conflict, you need to understand, if somebody loses, you might have created a secret enemy. Because it's not in us to lose. We were created to dominate. Okay? So always focus on win-win situations. There's always a win-win situation. No matter what the situation is, there's always a win-win situation. There's no winner-take-all. If you are going to resolve conflict on purpose, you must focus on win-win. Everybody must get something. Okay, here it is. Somebody says, Pastor, how are you going to do that? I'm excited. Here it is. If you're going to focus on win-win outcome, you must, here it is, help others to save face. Help others to save face. How does that mean? Learn to create an exit door for anybody you are in a conflict with. Okay, create an exit door, act like you're not seeing it so that they can leave the room with dignity. Let me tell you something. When you're in a conflict, don't embarrass the dignity of the person you're in a conflict with, because you would have created a secret enemy. There are so many people that do a lot of counseling on marital counseling, and there are husbands and wives who are literally enemies, waiting for opportunity. Your day is going to come, and I'm going to hit you hard because you embarrass me. You don't want people around you to feel their dignity sucked out because they lose all the time. Let me say this, and I'm going to say this because, you know, on this Progress on Purpose, I'm looking into my life. There are lessons I'm learning. You know, I'm not very, very old, but let me tell you something. God has exposed me to so much in such a small period of living that there are some things that I've discovered. If I were to redo things again, I would discover that, you know, the number one thing is learn to lose. Write that down. Learn to lose on purpose. If you are going to resolve conflicts on purpose, you must learn to lose on purpose. Many of us don't know how to lose. We act as if you lose, that's the end of your life. No, everybody wants to win. Everybody, it must be a win-win situation. And I've discovered I'm a decisive individual. Number one, I'm a very decisive guy. I make decisions, and listen, that's the easiest thing for me to do. Making decisions is something that's in my blood. I love to do it. I am decisive. I am on it. I get things done. So when you do that, you are going, if you don't slow down, others are going to feel intimidated, and it creates more enemies than friends. So you must learn to lose sometimes. Focus on win-win outcomes. Help others to save face, and always create an exit door so that the other person can walk out with dignity. Okay? Don't drive a person you're in a conflict with to a corner. Okay? Even a cat, if you take a cat to a corner, it's going to jump on your throat. Okay? Nobody wants to be cornered. Don't corner people. If you're driving anybody who you are in a conflict with, drive them toward the exit door that you have created for them so that they can leave the room with dignity. Let them feel they did it. Let them feel they did that thing. Okay? You feel what I'm saying? Because you value the relationship more than your opinion. The worst person to be in a conflict with is somebody that you don't care about. And many of us, we forget the relationship. That's why our conflicts are so brutal. It's not that deep. Seriously, it's not that deep. When you think about it, because the more enemies you create in your life, the more you rob yourself of energy, creativity, and the peace and freedom that you need. It's Abraham Lincoln, one of the iconic presidents of the United States, who said, I would rather turn an enemy into a friend than to turn a friend into an enemy, because it is energy depleting. So focus on win-win outcomes. Focus on win-win outcome. Thank you so much, somebody. Learn to lose on purpose. If you are going to resolve conflict on purpose, you must learn to lose on purpose. Don't make losing something that is to be avoided at all costs. Sometimes you win when you lose. Sometimes you win when you lose. Because the relationship is more important than my personal opinion. Here's number four. Number four, conflict resolution on purpose. Oh, I'm excited here. Somebody, please help me. Set ground rules. When you're in a conflict and you want to resolve it on purpose, you must set ground rules. When you look at Genesis chapter 13, you find this principle right there where Abraham said to Lot, listen, you choose where you want to go. If you go to the right, I'm going to go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Whenever you are in a camp, don't just fight when you don't know when the fight is going to be over. Okay, take time to, you need agreed acceptables in a conflict. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. When you value the relationship, you must have agreed acceptables. You can't just get in a conflict where you value the relationship and just fight anyhow and however you think you can get it done. Set ground rules when you're in a conflict. It matters. It really does matter, because it will drive you to the resolution. Okay? Because at the end of the day, it ain't that deep. I'll say it again. It ain't that deep. Whatever you are in conflict with right now, there's somebody who has overcome that thing. There's somebody who has it worse off than that. That doesn't mean what you're going through is not bad. Sometimes it's our perception. Sometimes it's our worldview. Sometimes it's how we were raised that when these kind of situations happen to us, this is what you must do. We have a preconceived solution to a conflict, and yet where you must communicate. And when you do, you may discover it's not even that bad. All right? It matters. Set ground rules when you are in a conflict situation, if you're going to resolve conflict on purpose. Okay? It matters. It really does matter. You know, we're not going to involve our families. We're not going to, if it's a husband and wife, we're not going to talk about our parents. Because if you don't have those ground rules, I mean, you can go low, man. And when you do, it messes up the relationship. All right. And then number five, respond, don't react. If you are going to resolve conflict on purpose, learn to respond and not react. All right. So somebody says, well, how can I accomplish that? That thing of responding and not reacting. Do you know there are so many people in jail today because they reacted where they were supposed to respond? There are so many things that you can humanly understand why a person could do that, but you cannot morally justify whatever. So whenever anything bad happens, there's no moral justification for bad, but you can, humanly speaking, understand why a person would do that. So it matters for you to learn to respond and not react. I shared, I think it's the one that I did on avoiding mistakes on purpose. That one thing that really matters is you need to rise above your preferences and your practice in order for you to really discover a principle in any crisis. Because if you live your life based on your preference, based on your practice, you're going to discover it's going to mess up how you deal with what you got to do. And let me say this to you, to the believer who is watching me right now. It's a contradiction for you to be a Christian and have your way all the time. It's a contradiction for you to be a Christian and have it your way all the time. Because Jesus says you must learn to deny yourself. So to begin with, when you are a Christian, your number one goal is not for you to get what you want. But if anything, God is saying deny yourself. So God is saying check your preferences, check your practices, and let the principle of the cross guide and order your steps. Don't get me started. I feel like preaching here. Respond and don't react. So somebody say, okay, so how do I do these things? Okay, number one, you must learn. Listen to this. In order for you to develop this muscle of responding and not reacting, you must learn poise and patience. You must learn to be poised. Silence is a very powerful weapon. In my life at this moment, I'm going through a lot of conflicts and things happening. And I tell you one thing I've discovered. I discovered that when somebody wants to get on your nerves and you respond, you fuel their energy. So when you are in a conflict to resolve it on purpose, you must learn to respond and not react. You must rise above the emotions that come first when somebody hits you and get to the core of the issue. That's what Abraham did. Lot, headsman, and Abraham's headsman, they were in conflict, and when Abraham comes into play, he responds to it. He doesn't react to it. There are so many people who end up losing their jobs because of reaction. See, feelings come and go. Feelings come and go, and you cannot live your life based on how you feel. Feelings are not loyal. Somebody type that. Feelings are not loyal. Feelings come and go. Feelings will let you down when you need them to hold you up. That's why you need to get to a point where you learn to respond and not react, because your feelings must know that I make decisions. You must rise above how you feel in order for you to deal with the real principle of the issue. Because all of us feel. All of us feel. Man, feelings are not loyal. Somebody ought to type that thing. Feelings are not, you cannot trust your feelings. So learn to respond and not react. Practice, learn, practice poise and patience. If you are going to deal with conflict on purpose, poise and patience. And like I said to you on staying calm, that's number one. You need to make sure that the timing, the setting and the tone is right. In order for you to respond and not react, the timing, the setting and the tone. That's one thing I discovered. You know what James says? James puts it this way. The tongue is a small member of the body, but the tongue has burned so many forests. It's like a little fire. In other words, it comes in and it hits out. It's one of the strongest muscles in the body, and yet it creates trouble. So learn to respond and not react. This is what made our salvation story doable, sis. That's what made it happen. Because when they hit Jesus, spat on him, and they put that crown of thorns on his head, somebody says he never said a mumbling word. Instead of reacting, he responded, because he came so that you and I could be saved. If Jesus was going to react to everybody, Pilate asked him, man, what should I do? Are you the one? And the Bible says he kept quiet. And he says, well, and you know, you got to tell me the truth. And truth was standing right there in front of him. Jesus made it all the way to the cross and delivered, sealed the deal for you and me because of responding and not reacting. That's why, has it ever dawned on you why Adam and Eve and the serpent, when they were at the tree talking, all right, talking in Genesis chapter 3, I've always wondered, why didn't God just show up and say, you are lying on me? That's not the truth. But the Bible says God permitted them to talk about him, made him a subject. And then at the cool of the evening, the very same time that God used to meet with Adam and Eve, God showed up as if nothing history making changing had happened. And when God got there, he then asked the question, where are you? That's what it is when you're poised and patient. And Adam and Eve says, well, we are naked. And verse 10, God says, who told you? You got to learn to respond and not react. Every conflict can be solved. You're not the first one to go through conflict. I'm not the first one to go through conflict. But if we let our emotions and feelings guide our where it says number six, I'm almost done. Number six, conflict resolution on purpose. In order for you to resolve conflict, you must bring the conflict to the surface. You must admit it. You must acknowledge it. Don't deny it. Don't hide it. Don't walk away from it. No, if you are to resolve it, you must bring it to the surface. We got an issue. All right, here's number seven. If you want to resolve conflict on purpose, Make changes when relationship becomes unproductive. Okay? When you want to resolve conflict on purpose, you must learn to make changes when the relationship becomes unproductive. Making changes is part of the conflict resolution. Okay? There are moments you need to understand. If you're in a relationship and things and it has become unproductive, because there's some relations that end up becoming unproductive, and the longer the conflict is going on and festering and becomes the main thing, you're going to discover you have more unproductivity in the relationship than what you're looking for. So whenever the relationship becomes unproductive, you must make changes. All right, here's what Abraham did. They started off together, and because the relationship was between their workers was contentious, the book says in Genesis chapter 13, he says, look here, you go this way, I go this way. You go whichever way you want to go, then I go the other way. And Lot went one way, and Abraham went another way, and the rest of the story, you'll never find out them moving and walking together again. Okay, Lot gets captured in chapter 14, and Abraham goes in to fight for him. And you remember Sodom and Gomorrah when Jesus himself comes down in person and goes out there to check things out for himself. And I want you to understand that sometimes a conflict resolution on purpose changes relationships. So when relationships change, because here's what it is. Some of us, when we're in a conflict, we are trying to preserve what God is trying to destroy. Some conflicts, they are literally a game changer for your survival. Some conflicts will get you out of a situation which you want to be in, and yet the only way for you to be out of it is a conflict. So make changes where the relationship becomes unproductive. And then number 7, and I'm out of here. Here it is. Show sincere interest. If you're going to solve conflict on purpose, you must learn to show sincere interest. Show sincere interest. Show sincere interest. Conflicts are good. But whilst you are in them, you need to know how to deal with them. The whole continent of Africa is free today because of conflict. We all know of Nelson Mandela because of conflict. We all know of Martin Luther King in America because of conflict. We all know of Mahatma Gandhi because of conflict. We actually have a savior called Jesus the Christ because of conflict. Conflicts are game changers. But you got to know how to deal with them. They'll either make you or they'll destroy you. The principle when it comes to conflict resolution is to resolve the conflict, bring it to the surface. You will not resolve a conflict that you are in denial. We need to agree that we got issues here. And then running down on the 7 principles, stay calm in it. Stay calm in it. Stay calm. That's number 1. That's the first principle. When you're in a conflict, stay calm. Don't jump around. Don't try to spin around. Don't make permanent decision when you are in a conflict. You need to stay calm first. Stay calm. Observe what's going on. So for you to be calm, you need to check your voice, your tone. Tone is very, very important. I've discovered that I've lost some situations, some discussions with people because of tone. Because when the tone is wrong, if you are married, if the tone is wrong, the other person doesn't hear what you're saying. They hear the disrespect. Instead of hearing what you're saying, you mean what you're saying. You're right on what you're saying, but you need to make sure the tone is right. Okay? The tone, the setting, and the timing is extremely important. Stay calm. Number 2, encourage communication. If you are in a conflict and you want to have a resolution on purpose, encourage communication. Be humble. Be humble. Say your piece and hush and let the other person come in. All right. I've been in situations where professional situations and where we had conflict with some of my leaders. And one thing I discovered is that some leaders come up with their minds already made up. And those are bad ways of doing things. And because whenever you're in a conflict, your thoughts and your ways are not the only ways and the only thoughts that get it done. Conflict means two people are in an issue. And Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together lest they be agreed? So there has to be a coming together of two people if we're going to resolve the issue. And number 3, focus on a win-win outcome. When you have a win-lose income, you have created a secret enemy. And you don't want that secret enemy to be your spouse. You don't want that secret enemy to be your boss. You don't want that secret enemy to be your neighbor. You don't want that secret enemy to be your sibling. You don't want that secret enemy to be your child. Learn to focus on win-win outcomes. No matter what, there will always be a win-win outcome. Do you know that when Jesus comes again, the book says, every knee shall bow. Come on, talk to me. Every tongue confess. Those who are saved and those who are unsaved, everybody is going to declare, God, you are just. That's a win-win, perfect, permanent situation that's there. So work on it. Work on it. The relationship will cost you something. If it means something, it'll get you, it'll change you, it'll move you, it'll shift you. And many of us don't want the work, but we want the best relationship. It doesn't work that way. Number 4, focus on a win-win outcome, which means help others to save face. When you're in a conflict, help others to save face. In other words, create exit doors for the person you're in a conflict with. Don't drive people into a corner. They will come out for the kill. Drive them to the exit door so that they can walk out with dignity. Because when you defeat a person, they're going to come back with revenge and vengeance, and bitterness, and you name it. There's more negative that comes when people feel defeated. And number four, set ground rules. You know, not, oh God, here it is. Write this thing. I'd have almost forgotten this. This is huge. The Holy Ghost just gave it to me right now. Set ground rules, because every right has a limit. When you're in a conflict, even when you've got rights, they have limits. If you're going to resolve conflict on purpose, you need to understand even your rights have limits. So set ground rules. You cannot just do anything anyhow. No, every right has a limit. Okay? There's nothing that there's no limits here. So set ground rules. Agree on acceptables. You know, let's not involve our parents. Let's not, you know, whatever stuff you got. Let's not attack each other as a person. Let's deal with the ideas. Let's deal with the ideas. Don't attack my height that I'm tall. Don't attack my weight that I've got, you know. No, those are ground rules. Because when you go there, we are going to mess up all the kind of stuff. Every right has limits. Get that. All right. And number five, respond. Don't react. Learn. Practice. Practice responding and not reacting. You need to, because our default, because we were shaped in iniquity, for all have sinned, they come short of the glory of God. Our default as human beings is reaction. We talk before we think. Okay. We let it out. We give people our minds before we give them our hearts. So that the default is for us to just go crazy and gangster on you. But if you are going to resolve conflict on purpose, develop the muscle to respond and not react. So learn poise and patience. Learn poise and patience. It calms everybody. Setting tone. You got to have those things together. Okay. And then number six, make changes when the relationship becomes unproductive. Sometimes you have to part ways. Okay. Come on, talk to me. Look at me. Look at me right now. Sometimes you have to part ways as a win-win situation, not as a win-lose, not as a punishment, but as the only solution that works. Sometimes parting ways is the greatest perfect divine will in a conflict in order for it to be resolved amicably between two people. And number seven, show sincere interest. Always pray that you're sincere. Pray that you're sincere. Even in fact, when you discover that when you start growing and getting closer to God and you're dealing with conflict, you're going to discover that you never do anything that will hurt somebody without it hurting you. Okay. You are not going to, you know, I love Jesus, man. I really do. Because the closer you get to Christ, the more sensitive you become to other people's feelings. Even when you are in disagreement, you still have that, you have to show that sincere interest because you care for the person more than the issue. We are in a conflict because of the issue. We are not in a conflict because of the person, but it is the issue. So you separate the person from the issue. And to get to that maturity, it takes a very special relationship with God for you to get there. So show sincere interest in whatever conflict situation you are in. All right, my friends, blessings on you as we continue with Progress on Purpose. I'm coming in again tomorrow. There's so much going on in my world right now that I just want to share. I want to pour. I want to let it out. And I am growing. Some of the things that I'm sharing with you is not being spoken from a balcony experience, but some of these things are lessons that I'm learning from a wheelchair experience. God is letting me sit in the wheelchair and experience and learn and truly become and evolve into this leader that God is helping me to teach others to become. Blessings on you, my friends. Listen, every conflict can be resolved. Every conflict can be resolved. If sin's conflict could be resolved with the cross, let me tell you something. There's nothing beyond being resolved. Everything can be resolved. All we need to know is the how to do it so that we can get to the other side. And we are praying. Father, thank you so much for this moment. Please help us to apply this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings on you, my friends. See you again tomorrow. Keep progressing on purpose. Don't quit. Keep doing it. Blessings on you.